All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast. Here with my mates, as always, Shane and Brandon. How are you guys doing today?
Amazing. And you?
That was short. Well, I thought I'd be better by today, but I'm still sick. So
dang, you sound better on the you sound better on the microphone. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you do. Just wait till I like have to like cough and can't mute myself in time, and then you'll hear the pain. So
damn. We respect your service to this podcast during the this difficult time.
Don't treat me like a war veteran, please don't.
I'm not trying to. All right, let's get started. So I wasn't expecting to start with this because I thought the game was really fun today. I have a proposal for the National Football League, and I wonder if you guys agree or disagree with my proposal. Are you guys ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay. My proposal is let's take what the NBA has done and let's put it to the NFL. The last 2 minutes of every game, everything's reviewable. I can't do this anymore, guys. This missing a face mask that blatant. And I understand that New York can't step in for that. New York has to be able to step in for that, especially considering New York has been really good this year. This has been the best year the replay system has had in my entire life. If you watch how fast they're making these decisions, it's amazing. We need this in the final 2 minutes. Just New York, they do it. They handle it. If something gets messed up on the field, they take care of it right away and we move on. This is ridiculous, guys. We can't keep doing this.
Make it like an expedited review thing? Don't sit there and review every did his toenail graze the grass?
Yes, yeah. What I'm talking about is those expedited reviews, even for flags. If the face mask today, New York says, hey, you got this call wrong, it's a face mask, tells it to the official, change the call on the field. Let's keep playing. That's all I want.
The only thing, though, is that what happens if because we've seen this before, what happens if it becomes a laundry fest in the last 2 minutes and there's a holding call and then there's an unnecessary roughness and then you're slowing it down the last 2 minutes.
What I'm saying is that's what the expediting review thing is important because New York has gotten so fast this year in particular where – let's say, for instance, there's what's a good example of what New York has done well this year? This is not the best example, but New York has been like for actually the example you use of like, hey, this guy's foot was out of bounds and you called it a catch. New York calls it down and says, hey, his foot was out of bounds. Okay, we're pushing it back. But that they review that stuff. New York doesn't do that for every play, right? They don't just sit. I'm talking about the stuff that is crucial. The stuff that is so clearly blatant of a mistake that it affects the outcome of the game itself. And that's where I have a significant problem. It's just like, we can't do, oh, now we want to make face mask reviewable. We want to make PI reviewable. That's stupid. We already tried that. Let's just make it comprehensive. New York has gotten good enough where I feel safe trusting New York in these instances. That's my whole point.
Yeah, and for me, it all started with the NFC Championship in 2019, was it?
Yeah, with the PI call. Yeah,
yeah.
And then the next year, they said, "Oh, let's just review all PI calls." In hindsight, I don't think that was the right move. In hindsight, what I think would have been better, and what I think they should do, is the 2 minute thing.
Yeah.
I think so, right? I mean, that's didn't I? But haven't I said the same thing pretty much like the other way too? Like, you know, that I've had issues. Like we've all had issues with the officiating last 2 minutes of a game. Like how bad it is. Like, so I get it. It definitely makes sense. That's kind of how I see it too. Like, if it's blatant, then it should be reviewable.
Yeah, that's kind of where I've fallen. And I think today I was like, bro, this is one of the most blatant misses I've seen in such a long time. And again, who know? You said this before we started the pod, Brandon. Who knows what impact it would have had at the end of the game? It doesn't matter. They would have had the ball at the 20. Who knows what would have happened? Give them that chance. And like, look, the NBA 2-minute thing, because I know it was mostly 2-minute reports, but I think that if I'm wrong, let us know in the comment section. But I think I'm correct that they have done that as well, where they're expediting at least a lot of the reviews at the 2-minute. In Secaucus, New Jersey, by the way, the home of the Replay Center for the NBA, Brandon. That said, I think we need to take what Secaucus has done well with the NBA, and even though it was kind of hated at the beginning, it's become standard now, and that's what I think we need to do in the NFL.
Yeah, let me just say, yeah, it's funny how people from not who aren't from here will say Secaucus. Everybody in Jersey says Secaucus. So what? Trust me. I was like when I heard it, it was because when I hear people say that, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
It's sea caucus? Like, sea caucus.
Yeah.
Sea carcass.
Both are technically right because literally everybody from other states will say Secaucus, but like the tri-state area says sea caucus.
Oh, geez.
But
are you guys ready to talk about Chilean sea bass for our post-credit scene? We'll get there in a little while.
What? I mean, listen, let's get there. You know,
let's get there. Okay, so Shane, you put a comment in our chat. So you have the floor for this segment of the podcast, because you said the one thing I learned today was how you can beat both of these teams. Explain.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings, to beat them, just pass. And don't stop because their pass defense is awful. Everybody is talking about how Brian Flores, amazing defensive coordinator, and I don't doubt that, but I just think that some of their talent on the back end is not great. Harrison Smith is obviously a legendary safety, maybe not legendary. Well, yeah, sure. But he's definitely way past his prime. Has been for a couple of years. And, yeah, I mean, you got Byron Murphy, who's an okay corner. Other than that, it's pretty bare bones back there. You know, and not to mention you got rid of your best pass rusher this last offseason in Danielle Hunter, so you lose that aspect of your game as well. And and I think Darnold, you know, he's been great this year, and I think this year he at least so far has proven that he is a starter in this league. I don't doubt that at all, at the moment anyways. However, he still hasn't proven to me that, like, he can, you know, if they're down, that he can pick up the pieces and lead a comeback. Granted, he hasn't had very many opportunities to do that, but I just am not seeing that. Because whenever the Vikings aren't playing with a somewhat comfortable lead, he looks tense. He's not playing kind of free and loose like he normally does when he plays so well. And I get it, you know, you want to win, you don't want to make mistakes, but it's like, well,
can I go back to the defense thing really quick for you, Shane? Because I don't know if, many of you watch the Prime Vision broadcast. I'm a huge fan of it, with the angles and all the technical analysis, all these different things. And one of the things that Sam Schwartzman of Amazon, the stats guy, or that analytics, you know, guy, talked about, which I was really interested in what both you and Brandon would say about this, and I'll start with you, because what they do defensively under Brian Flores is so interesting, where they're literally right up in the box. They're literally showing cover zero on every, on pretty much every snap, pretty much every chance they get, and then they drop back, or then they go for a blitz. It's a really unique coverage, Shane, but it also can lead to, hey, I can get beat over top and things of that nature, which we saw tonight.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that kind of that kind of defense is called a 4-6, which I'm sure you guys know that, but for the listener, if you don't know, basically it's where you have 8 guys in the box as opposed to 7. You know, you hear like the front 7, the 4 defensive linemen and the 3 linebackers, or vice versa, 3 linemen, 4 linebackers. Well, instead, you kind of have like a 4 defensive linemen and then 4 basically linebackers. It's the 4-6, or sometimes it's also called the 4-4. You know, you kind of hear both interchangeably. And yeah, it's fantastic against the run. Because you jam the box, the inside where you normally run, but it leaves you vulnerable sometimes to passing, particularly deep passing, and you know that especially you look at the last 2 games they've played, okay, Stafford with Kupp and Nacua, Stafford's a deep thrower, gunslinger. They're 2 really solid receivers. What do you think's going to happen? you know, so there's that. And then the week before that, it was Detroit, who, again, Goff loves the deep ball. And Amon-Ra, one of the best receivers in the game. Jameson Williams, one of the fastest receivers in the game. Again, what do you think they're going to do? Soar deep. See ya. You know, especially against Detroit, like where you have such a good offensive line, you can load the box all you want. But if you get, you know, if you got 8 guys right there in the box, I mean, it's not really going to be a problem for that offensive line. And then you got 3 guys going deep to cover Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, Laporta, you know, Gibbs or Montgomery if they go out to pass. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's game over at that point. So yeah, the key, I think, to at least in the last 2 weeks, what I've noticed with Minnesota, you got to get an early lead to make Donald uncomfortable. And B, just pass. Just pass, pass, pass. And as for the Rams, you know, the truth of the matter is, I mean, if they are mostly healthy on offense, good luck. You know, Kyron Williams is, I think, probably the most underrated running back in the league.
Not if you have him on a fantasy roster, which I do, because I fucking love the kid. He's fucking amazing.
He's really good. He's really, really good. And, you know, if Coop and Puka are healthy, you know, that's probably a top 5 wide receiver duo in the league. So, you know, and Stafford, obviously his age is showing a bit, but he's still got a cannon for an arm. Yeah. You know, so it's an offensive line for them. It's not as good as it used to be. I mean, I think they're still kind of trying to find their footing after losing Whitworth, but it's still not a terrible group. I mean, there's certainly worse lines out there. You know, I mean, just look at Minnesota tonight without Darrisaw. Yikes. So, yeah. I think if you're LA, you win by just dominating time of possession with your good running game and then having those explosive plays in your back pocket. And then just trusting your defense, who is, because they're going to probably be on the field a little longer than most just because of the efficiency of their offense. But that's why, you know, luckily that defense is very young. So they have a lot of stamina, a lot of longevity. They can, they can handle it. You know, they're definitely missing Aaron Donald on the defensive line. It's very clear, but you know, I think they've found quite a few decent guys to not replace him, but kind of like fill that void a little bit. You know, it's just the only downside is back then it was one guy. Now it's like two or three. So
yeah.
Yeah, it makes a big difference when you have matchups against the offensive line that you can manipulate, but I think they're making it work.
Brandon, I'll continue with you on this. This Shane has basically laid out why Cooper Kupp should not be moved unless you get like a grandiose offer.
Yeah, I mean he's just too valuable to that team. I mean, even, you know, if he's not your number one option, I mean, he's not number one anymore. That's Puka. But the thing is, as a two and as a guy that's pretty, you know, like all reliable, pretty much, you know, he'll be there when he's called upon. I mean, he's not as healthy as he once was, but I mean, he's kind of struggled with health the past couple seasons. But I mean, overall, that kind of veteran presence in a wide receiver room, like we talk about veterans going to other teams, right? But it's not the same. But like Cooper Kupp, you know, on the Rams, where he's been his whole career, it's important because it's just, you know, that he provides just like he's not like a big, like, you know, fire up type of guy. He's not, you know, there's no character issues. He's just steady and reliable. And that's what he's been his whole career, is, you know, is steady and reliable. And the thing
he's
is,
like,
you know,
one of the first guys there, the last to leave. Just,
yeah, he's just a hard worker. Know? He is to the Rams what Jordy Nelson was to the Packers.
Yeah,
that's how I look at it. Like Jordy Nelson was Mr. Dependable for so many years. Was clutch when he needed to be, but he wasn't like a flashy type of wide receiver. You know, like Wes Welker was like that too. I mean, slot receiver, but still. Like every team that has ever won anything, or any team with a good offense, like truly good offense, has one of those guys like that that is just solid, and you know you know you can lean on them if you need to, even if they get older. So it's like that with Coop. You know, Coop's not the guy anymore, but he provides enough of a distraction to allow, you know, Puka to eat, I mean, 2-2 to get some catches here and there, and then the offense kind of opens up from there. So it's important that even when, you know, your top wide receiver gets older, you still find ways to keep them like useful and but still ready to go. Like a lot of teams will beat their wide receiver one into the ground, not give them a wide receiver two that they can help develop. That way, when they get on the back end of their career, that's kind of what the Rams did. Coop was the one for so long. You bring in Nacua, you're hoping he'll take over. And now for the past, you know, season and a half, it's been that. So, but the thing is that you get rid of Coop, then nobody's focusing on him anymore. And nobody cares about the rest of that wide receiver core. So then all you focus on is Puka. So it is so just, it kind of gets, you know, overlooked. A lot of people, you know, there's value in having a solid veteran presence in your wide receiver room to be a wide receiver two or a wide receiver three, because it lengthens your wide receiver room. It forces defenses to focus on more than just one guy. And it's, and those guys, you know, they might not be what they once were, but if you find creative ways to get them open and to get them some targets, it makes your entire offense better, but it also makes the entire team better because you're not just relying on one guy to keep bailing you out. Like, you know, the Vikings, I mean, I know Jordan Addison is nice, but their one guy is Justin Jefferson. And then it's a drop off. I mean, obviously, but like, you know, Philly's got two good wide receivers. You know, the Bengals have two good wide receivers. Miami, I mean, with Tua, has two good wide receivers. You know, now the Rams. Rams are here. Two good wide receivers. These are all teams that have playoff experience, that have either or have even been in the Super Bowl. It's, you know, you need those kind of guys. So Cooper Kupp can't be moved. He's too valuable to a team like this that is trying to claw their way back this season. You can't move him. You move him, that offense goes back to what it was basically with him being injured and out. They don't go anywhere.
And I'll let you finish up, Brandon, on what Shane said about the Vikings defense, because it is certainly an interesting system to think about for this defense and for what this team does overall.
It feels like the cracks of what we've talked about since basically like 2021, 2022 have been rearing their ugly head now for the Vikings for 2 weeks, where we said, hey, this, you know, remember in 22, they were the third, they were the dead last ranked defense in the NFL. Couldn't stop the pass to save their life. I mean, they, you know, the run game, they were bad in the run game too, but at least they were somewhat better. So, but you know how teams are beating them? They were beating them by throwing the ball. You know, Philly smoked them in the postseason and, you know, in the playoffs. I know I'm saying postseason, I'm thinking of MLB.
I'm at the same place right now too. I've been watching too much postseason baseball.
But you know, it's, well, I mean, it's still the same term, whatever. But yeah, I mean, the Vikings, that's been their, really their MO. It hasn't really just been this year. It's been like, you know, like everybody's like, oh, well, the Giants, you know, tried to pass, but it's like, yeah, but the Giants suck. Like that's not the point. Like a somewhat competent offense can beat this Vikings defense and put up points as long as you know, you have the talent to do so. You mean the Giants don't have any talent whatsoever outside of Malik Neighbors. That's a fact. So it's, you know, so that's
and Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, but he's hurt now.
Yeah.
But
skill guys, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one, yeah. But so it's like, but when you look at, I mean, this is 2 weeks where, you know, we you know, people do write the Rams off, I think us included sometimes, but we forget that when they are healthy, this Rams offense is like a top 10 offense. It is. So,
or even higher than that.
Yeah, even, I don't know if it's top five. That's why I'm like, it's on the fringes. I don't want to say top five, but, you know, cause I could probably, if I think hard enough, come up with five better ones, but I think that, you know, that they're close to it. They're on the fringes of the top five, but either way, that's a good offense. And then the Lions have one of the best offenses in football. So it's, when you can have a, and the best part is too, Stafford, Goff, those are veteran quarterbacks and know what they need to do to win. So it's like, you're not, you know, those guys have proven it before. They've been in big games. You know, one has a ring, one got close to winning a ring. You know, so when you look at that defense, that what their problem has been really for the better part of two or a little over 2 years, their pass defense has been bad. It hasn't just been that it's been, you know, winning. They always say, like, you know, winning masks, you know, the cracks. But it's like when you start to lose, then you start seeing the things that you saw, you know, from years past. So it's like with the Vikings, it's like the two losses, like, oh my God, you know, the sky's falling. But it's like, it was like, you know, it was the same thing with the Saints. Like the Saints had two wins and everybody was starting to sing their praises, and then they've lost five straight. And now we see, oh, this is what the Saints really are. It's like, no, this is what the Vikings really are. They're still good offensively, but their defense is shaky at best. And that's at best. So, I mean, but that defense has been shaky. Last year, shaky. Year before, shaky. Couldn't defend the pass. It's the same problems. So it's, you know, when I was thinking about that and I was watching the highlights, because I didn't watch the whole game. You know, I didn't watch really any of it. But when I was watching the highlights, that is one thing I've noticed, is that even if it's a bad throw by Matt Stafford, it was still being completed. Like, it was like, this defense didn't know how to just couldn't stop anything that the Rams did. So, I mean, Matt Stafford had four TDs on them. So it's, as I'm showing the highlights again here on TV, but it's like the problems are reoccurring with this Vikings defense. The pass game, and like Shane said, is the biggest problem, and it's been a problem now for years.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go to something that is a huge problem in another team in your division, Brandon, because I know we mentioned the Giants, we always mentioned the Eagles, and we always mentioned the Cowboys. Jesus, Dallas. I'm just going to read these out, and I'm going to read out everything, okay? Give me a minute. Let me read this out. It's long. Let me read this whole thing, and then I'll let you guys go. Because okay. So, Cowboys players were really upset about the fan tours. And I was like, okay, fan tours? Shane, you've been to fan tours, right? At CenturyLink, at T-Mobile Park. We've done that even as kids, right?
I mean, not during, like, practice or something, no.
Yeah, like in the off season and stuff like that. Brandon, well, how many tours have you been? I know you've been to a bunch of your stadiums, but how many like actual tours have you been to?
Actually, believe it or not, none. I haven't done one. So,
ooh, okay.
I know they exist. I mean, I've seen them. You know, I've seen people talk about them. I've seen people do videos about them, but I've never actually done one myself. But I know, you know, I know the concept and all that stuff.
Well, I was at the stadium tour of the T-Mobile Park where the Mariners play. I didn't know it because I was only one, but I was there because my dad built it.
That's awesome.
He was on the crew that built it. So
I'll tell you, Brandon, is that stadium tours never go into the locker room or team meeting rooms or anything during a season. That never happens.
Oh yeah, no.
It never happens. Why bring that up? Let's read these quotes for the Cowboys. Former quarterback Ben DiNucci: I'll never forget when I would work out on Tuesday mornings and have people tapping on the weight room glass like I was supposed to do something cool on command. You guys, it gets worse, guys. It gets funnier.
Oh, I know.
I'm smiling when I walk in the building here. I just know, like, I just have to work, said Denorance Armstrong, former Cowboys defensive end with the Commanders now. Tony Pollard of the Tennessee Titans, he says of the Titans, this is more about football, just X's and O's. I'm in a better place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and just all around in Tennessee. Kelvin Joseph, who was in Kansas City when they did this piece, but now he's a member of the Colts. Over here in Kansas City, the point is football and winning championships. And he said, in Dallas, there's a lot of football and like other stuff. Deontay Fowler said this about the Commanders now that he plays there. He said, you got real facilities here. You might not see tourists coming around, but it just keeps the main thing, meaning football in Washington. When asked about team culture, Fowler cursed along with two or three other Cowboys from the roster in 2023. Independently cited the tours as a defining feature. Kurt said, you're on your way to lunch and you're running into tours. You're on your way to meetings and you're running into tours. We're here for football. It's our job to come in and be able to focus, whether we're in the weight room or a coach is teaching us something in the meeting room, where you have 30 to 35 people walking by looking through the glass while you're in meetings. Another recent former player who requested being anonymous said his position group would shut the door to their room specifically to avoid tours. And a recent player who requested anonymity said he never felt he could speak freely, even in the locker room, because with the open entrance, fans could hear him in the hallway. Here's what that first anonymous player also said. I don't know if that worked for Jerry in the 90s back when they were winning Super Bowls, but time has changed. You have elite athletes, and you want their complete focus. You shouldn't have tours. It's an added distraction. Again, there are tours that happen in the middle of the season for every NFL team. But of the other 31 teams, I can promise you, they don't go into those areas. The Cowboys do. This is horrible for the rookies, by the way, because this is such a terrible experience if you're a rookie, because you don't know how an NFL locker room actually is supposed to work. But Shane, I'll let you start. What is your reaction to this report? Because it's definitely a circus.
Yeah, but it's not surprising at all. I mean, we know that Jerry Jones is a lunatic, let's be honest. And, he's not... He thinks he's in the football business, but he's not. He's in the...
Entertainment business.
Yes. And, I get it. If you're an owner of a franchise, you want your team to make money first and foremost. Sure. But that's... You can do it other ways than that. you have this big, beautiful stadium, Jerry's World. It's even nicknamed after you. Go show that off, okay? You don't need these people in the facility while you play. The locker room, like, I know this as a former player and coach. I was really quick, I was gonna say this.
I hear your frustration as a former player and former coach, but continue, because I want you to think about it as a former player and as a former coach, because I could only imagine how frustrating that would be for you, Shane.
Yeah, because it's like the locker room. That's where you feel most comfortable to be vulnerable with your guy. And when I say, a lot of people hear that and think like, oh, to like, say gross racist things like locker room talk. It's like, no, that's not what it is. It's because it's just you guys in there. And so if you need to let loose after a tough loss, or you're upset about something, you got to talk to your guys. Like, hey man, and you got to give them some love, whatever. Just, it's that kind of thing. Like, you don't need other people to be listening to that. It's just stuff that's personal, private, and again, it's nothing bad that's being discussed. That's not why you want it to not be heard. And so when you don't have that, that's kind of like, well, okay, that's that's frustrating. And, I mean, even just in my experience and playing, coaching, whatever in the high school level, is like every locker room we would have at every stadium, the doors would close so that we knew that we could talk about game strategy, we could talk about whatever, not worry about other people kind of sitting there like, oh, what are they talking about? What are they scheming up for the second half? Or what, it's like, you don't want to think about that. You got to stay in the zone. for me, it was like, as a player, I didn't say much during that time, just because normally I was like sitting there eating Uncrustables or something, which
we will get to that. We will get to that.
We will get to that. But, but as a coach, more vocal, and obviously, because we're, we're busy halftime. We're in there making adjustments. We're starting with the whole team, giving some motivational speeches, then going out into offense, defense, and then position groups. It's like, we got a lot to get through. We don't want to worry about this outside stuff. So
and I'll add to this for you, Shane, because a lot of what these players are talking about is like the midweek, the Tuesdays, the Wednesdays in the locker room, before, after practice. Those are still incredibly vital, and you still have that locker room camaraderie that you want to have. You don't want fans peeking into that either.
Yeah, because that's like, I mean, first of all, that's always where like the fun shenanigans happen, like the good, you know, jokes and whatever else. And just when you hang out with the guys at you're not doing that at practice out on the field. You're busy, you're practicing, but afterwards in the locker room, you're just hanging out, you know? I think that's something I could, that's a segment we could have, Shane's locker room stories.
we honestly end up having that segment like pretty often because it fits perfectly, but go ahead.
Yeah, but anyways, so yeah, it's just stuff like that. You know, you don't, yeah, midweek, it's like, you know, I won't say what exactly, but I've had, you know, players come up to me with some very kind of personal things that they needed to talk about, like real issues that were going on in life, and they weren't sure what to do, and like they didn't want to go to like a real, you know, like a grown adult, but just because it's like, oh, I don't know if you'd understand or whatever. So they would just come to me, and like, because I'm close to their age, but still old enough that I, you know, that I, they assume I know better, which I don't always, but anyways. you know, it's just stuff like that. It's like, yeah, let's just keep that private. And I've told you guys about some of those things. I won't repeat them here. It's not that they're bad or anything. It's just like,
the, you know, personal things, right?
About the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's not good to have that distraction right there. You know what I mean? Just keep it away. We're here doing this thing. They can see us on Sunday. You know?
Yeah. Brandon, I mean, you've played a lot of different sports. I mean, with football, like, especially in a professional setting like this, as a player, Brandon, how pissed would you be if this was happening in your day-to-day life in the facility? I mean, it's got to be incredibly annoying.
You know, when I played, especially when I played baseball, like, you know, you didn't really, you know, we didn't have like a clubhouse, but there were times where right after a game, especially when we were younger, even like, you know, like middle school age, things like that, where we would our coaches would tell us like after a game, after we would do like the handshake line and things like that, like, hey, you know, everybody, no matter if it was a win or a loss, hey, everybody, like, hang in the dugout for like 10 minutes. You know, we're going to talk to the coaches, talk, exchange, you know, words with them, talk to the ump, you know, make sure everybody's kind of, you know, get everything done here. You guys just chill out, pack up your stuff. You know, we'll be there in a minute. And for that, for those few moments, we would remember that, hey, you know, we're just guys playing a game. You know, we're not athletes. You know, we're, you know, like, what happens between the lines, what happens between the lines. And then when you come off, you almost just transition back and just be, hey, I'm just a guy that plays a game. And, you know, you sit there and talk with your teammates. You sit there and talk to your teammates about stuff that wasn't even related to the game. Like, I mean, especially if you won. If you lost, you would talk about, hey, you know, when's practice? Tomorrow? Okay, cool. But, like, especially when you won, you would just be like, hey, you know, like, what are you guys doing later? Like, you know, stuff like that. Like regular, just what you would ask your friends on the phone. And it was, so I look at it from a standpoint, and then the worst part was it would bug me, because, like, especially when we were young, because, you know, everybody wants to get out of there, and, like, you know, especially when we weren't able to drive yet, like, a lot of us were, like, preteens and things like that. It was like, the second a game would end, our parents are sitting there, like, right next to the dugout, and I'm like, you guys don't have to be here. Like, we're not leaving for another, you know, 20 minutes. So it's like, it felt weird. You know, even though it was family, it felt weird, because it was like, you know, we'll see you in the parking lot. Like, don't worry about it. Like, so it was weird, but, you know, but the thing is, like, you kind of did get used to it. So it's like, you know, a lot of Cowboys players, I would assume, they do feel uncomfortable with it, but eventually you do get used to it. But at the same time, like, it's not just, you know, for the private conversations or for, you know, discussing, like, strategy too. It is for that. But when I was thinking about it, when you guys were talking about it, I looked at it from a sense of also those, like, that time between, like, in the off season when you're there working on the facility, or when you're in that stadium before or midweek, halftime,
post game, yeah, midweek, any of that stuff.
Those are the moments where it's like, you're just a guy working out, or you're just a guy talking to other guys. Like, you're not, you're an athlete, yes, but you got to think about it too. You're also a celebrity, especially if you're like a well-known player on the team, you are a celebrity. And that downtime that you have in between playing the game, post-game interviews, other kinds of interviews, you know, things that you're doing, you know, you kind of almost have to put on a little bit of a character when you're in front of a camera. But when you're away, you can relax and be yourself. So it's weird when you're just in there having a conversation with a teammate and somebody wants to stroll by on a tour and hear you talking about just random day-to-day stuff. And they, like, you feel like it's an invasion of not just privacy, but it's like, it feels like it's an invasion of your life, because you're already being invaded by the media, by fans, you know, regularly anyway. So when you lose that last bit of privacy and, like, a normal life, because that's basically what that is when you're an athlete, is that, like, those little moments are where you can actually just let go and relax for a second. When you lose that, it's a hard thing to deal with, because if you can't constantly be in this, you know, you with anybody, not just an athlete, but especially when just a regular person, you, like, you can't always be in work mode, or you can't always be in parent mode, or you can't always be in family member mode. Like, you can't always be in one mode. You'll burn yourself out. It's not good. So when you have these tours taking place, it's like, these players, it's not just for strategies and stuff, and, you know, like it, that is a big part of it, but it's also, it's the last, you know, they feel comfortable there. That's like their second home, based, you know, versus what they know. So it's like, you know, that's where they feel comfortable. Like, it's very different. You know, it's like other places, you know, you don't get as much privacy, but it's like there, especially when you're a professional athlete and you're in those kinds of facilities, you should be able to, because you have this kind of access to these things, you should be able to have that kind of say over, hey, this is my time. I don't want anyone here. You know, I want to do what I got to do. And if, you know,
I want to be around my teammates, I want to be around my coaches, I don't want fans strolling by. Yeah.
Exactly. Like it's, you know, it just takes you back to the same things that we heard when we were kids playing a sport, whether it was football or baseball for me or whatever it was. We just wanted those few minutes to ourselves after a game. Or you know, if there was a delay in the game, okay, we have, like, you know, 10 minutes to figure out, you know, what we're doing next. Like, you know, it's like, it's, you know, when you have constant distractions from outside sources, and that's exactly what these tours are, you can't focus on the game. And then in turn, it goes into the product you get on the field on game day. It's another distraction that a team doesn't need, or a certain, or a star player doesn't need. So when you look at how bad the Cowboys have been for 30 years now, this is a big part of the reason why. So this is just, you know, it doesn't surprise me that's the Cowboys doing this, but it's like, My God, how much crap can Jerry Jones just, you know, how much more crap can you add onto this pile of shit, pretty much? Like, because it's not even ridiculous. There's not even a word for this, how stupid this is. And the fact that this guy, I mean, listen, so you can say what you want. Yeah, he's got the rings or whatever. The guy is senile. He's too old to be running this team. I have
a Coke bottle and I'm just dinging it around because I'm like yeah. yes.
And this is the only time you will ever hear me on this show defend the Cowboys, because obviously, like, you know, everybody knows I hate them, but like, you're still like, you cannot run a team where, like, we're talking about it, where you cannot run it like it's a circus. You cannot run it like it's entertainment. Because you know what happens when you run like it's entertainment? The whole product sucks. And what's happening for the past 30 years? Your team has sucked. So it's just too much. It's too much on the players. It's too much on your coaches. It's too much on even your staff members. Whether that's the towel boy, the Gatorade guy. That's too much on them even too.
Yeah.
So it's, there is too much strain when you are allowing fans to get this inside look at even closer at the lives of, you know, players. There's such a thing as too much access. And this is another example of it. And this is why, like, you know, it's why the team's not going anywhere. And it's why Jerry Jones, he's so out of touch with reality that it's ridiculous. And this is just another stupid thing that's going to, you know, add on to the fact that this guy has spent the last 30 years ruining his own legacy. And it's pretty clear. And this is another just, you know, throwing stones at a glass house. It's going to, at some point, this house isn't even broken. He's still throwing stones at a glass house. So it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sell the team, bro.
Yeah. No, dude, you don't even care about getting the product right on the field. You shouldn't own a team. And that's for, dude, there are so many owners like that in this league. It's a huge problem. Because here's the thing. Jerry Jones is in the Hall of Fame. The reason why he's in the Hall of Fame is because he's a good businessman for the NFL. He knows what's good business. Why do you think the Rams moved to LA? It was him. It's good business. I get that. I don't disrespect that. But the football product, the football product that you're running as the owner / general manager is broken. Is absolutely broken.
And you know what? You know what it is too. It's funny how that's a, like up until Dan Snyder left, like those two in the NFC East were competing for basically the worst ownership. Like it's insane how you know. Oh no, not even look at the Giants. Even the Giants are a mess. Like
the whole division has bad owners, and you've lived it your whole life.
Yeah, like it's not even a positive thing for me to say that Jeffrey Lurie is the best owner in that division, because that's not saying much. But
yeah,
like it's ridiculous how it's true. Look at how many teams treat this sport like it's, you know, like the Steelers are too buttoned up, but their ownership doesn't do anything to make that team better. Cowboys ownership doesn't do anything to make that team better. Treats it like it's a joke, you know. The Washington for years treated their players and their staff and their cheerleaders like a joke. Like there's too many teams that treat this like either way too seriously to the point where it's life or death, or where they don't take it seriously enough. Like it's too much to, you know, it's bad for the game that these players suffer and your entire organization suffers. If you don't have a good owner, that's why we always say it in other sports too. If you don't have a good owner, you have nothing, because that owner is going to run you into the ground.
It starts from the top. We always say this. It starts from the top. Mm-hmm. The teams that are bad in this league this year, Shad Khan, David Tepper has not been very good right now so far. I was excited about Tepper. He is has a terrible demeanor. The Miami Dolphins owner, the Dolphins have sucked. The Dolphins owner lives in New York City. He's never at the damn facility. So, like, what do you want me to say? We're not talking about the minority owners. We're talking about the owner, the owner that is the leader,
the chair.
Yes, Shane, continue.
Well, no, it's like this isn't just the case with football either. Like, this is the case not just in any sport either. This is any business ever.
Yes. Yes.
It can be, you can have the best employees, the greatest product. But if your owner sucks, you are going to fail. That's just what happens. I'm not going to go into more detail about that. I'll tell you guys privately. I don't want to get into any more trouble. Not anymore. I'm already in trouble.
Not at the place that we're at. You're talking about other places that you have been in your career.
well, more specifically, my mom. Because she's, with what she does, she represents a bunch of different companies in selling their products. Anyways, there's some that are like, I won't say what, but there are some who have this amazing product that's like legendary, but the owners are terrible and the company's like probably going to go out of business, you know.
On the other hand, I remember there's this other company. No, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, this made me think, and I wanted to say this really quick before I can do. It makes me think of all the stories you've told me about bad directors or bad producers that you have worked with and how much of a mess those 12 hours of a workday were for you. And it was because of the person at the top.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Same thing, exactly. Or in school, any band I was in, if the teacher, who is the director, was bad, didn't matter how talented the group was, the group was not good. Whereas, I remember specifically my junior year, I was in two groups at the school, and they were mostly the same people in each group, but one of them had a bad director, who will remain nameless. And we did nothing with that group. It was terrible. And then, again, basically the same people with the other director, Hornstein, Robert, who you know. We won second place in the state competition.
By the way, as much as I was terrible at choir, Hornstein was incredible. As a phenomenal director, incredible. He helped me realize I couldn't sing, and I respect him for that because I was a terrible singer.
But that just proves the point. It's like the person at the top matters, you know.
The
talent that we had in that group that year, it was not amazing, but he was great, and so as a result, we were a good group.
Brandon, I can bring this up for even the stuff we have done in our history of doing podcasts and stuff. Like here at Sportitos, we have, you know, we have this amazing leadership. We do rankings. I know you're doing the defensive rankings. I'm doing the receiver rankings. Sundays, there's always like, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's who has this game, this game, this game, this game. And then who should rename nameless? Past employers where it was just a mess. And we would have like so much like craziness going on and not enough like, you know, reliability in organization. And that's another thing too, Brandon, which I think you can speak on as well, is this approach of like, hey, we need to be organized when we do, especially the work we're doing with fantasy blurbs and podcasting. A huge part of it is organization, but that's the case for everything. But I know you can speak on it in terms of what we do for Sports Ethos and like just NFL stuff in general. In our focus on this, because in Sportitos, the organization is a big thing, and in other places, it just wasn't, and it made us really upset.
Yeah, and I mean, in other places, I mean, how many times did me and you talk about it? We're like, damn, like, is someone going to step in and take charge here? Because nobody knows what the hell they're doing. Like, it's like, you know, we're doing our best with what we're given, but we're not, it's not like nobody, there's no communication, nobody's talking. I'm like, no one knows what they're really supposed to be doing by then. By like, it seems like each week it's just bleeding over into the next because nobody's checking in on anything. Nobody is making sure stuff gets done. Like, it's kind of just like, you know, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah,
that's why. But that was why when we moved on to here, it's like, you know, it was kind of like a breath of fresh air because it was like, wow, we're actually keeping track of things. We're actually on time with things. We know our deadlines. We know, like, it was a lot easier to deal with, and it made our jobs easier, which is why the product ends up being better. And we keep talking about, like, in sports, the product is better when you have just that hands-on type of, you know, atmosphere, that communication, when you can have those kinds of things, you know, working well together, that's invaluable. Like, you can't put a price tag on it because it makes everybody else better. So it's when you have, you know, when you have some places that you work for that just don't really kind of care or just don't see half the things that are going on, like, nobody's gonna get ahead. You know, the people that are always, you know, up at the top or near the top, they might stay ahead, but then everybody else on the bottom, like we were, we didn't know, nothing was getting done.
Yeah.
So it became a mess, and thank God here it's not. So it's like,
yeah, and here, yeah, by the way, I'll say this, like, our Slack channel here at Sports Ethos, I'll give some behind the scenes here. You know this, Brandon, it's always popping off. There's always someone being like, hey, can you help me with this? Can you do this? Can you do this game? It's always going crazy every day because everyone's on top of this is news is happening. This is what's going on. It's wild, but that's the organization we're looking for. Shane, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I mean, something I've noticed too is like the people above us here, it's like they're always checking in, seeing like, you know, how are you guys doing? How are you feeling about this? And also giving us feedback. Like, I think this is working great. Maybe we can this not as much. Maybe we can try this instead. And it's like, yeah, perfect, great. And we do it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And because... again, we're not trying to toot our own horn here. We're just giving an example of, hey, this is how a proper business should work. This is just our experiences.
And it's not tooting our own horn. That's giving them props, because it's like the fact that they have this positive relationship with us means that we respect their input and appreciate it, you know.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, I mean, if they just didn't care and like never checked in or anything, and just then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, hey, by the way, you need to do this, and that, I'd be like, screw you, go away. but that's not the case. So
that's the thing with the Cowboys, their ability to just listen to authority gets fucked up, because like your authority is the business versus the football.
Right, and that's the problem. It's like there's no, I mean, yeah, there's that, but it's also like no one takes any accountability, or the, you know, when you compare it to like the Chiefs business model, you know, you got Clark Hunt on top who gives, you know, very clear direction, and then Veach scouts, makes trades, gets free agents, gets great makes great draft picks, got, you know, checking with Andy like, hey, you know, what do you think about this guy? Oh yeah, yeah, okay, you know, and doing that, and then Andy has the vision for the football side of things with the team. And he kind of, you know, draws up the offense. Spags, he's running the defense. It's a very clear structure. And everybody's like, and, you know, they're all like, yep, okay. They're all on the same page. That's what you need. Not Dallas, where it's like, you know, Jerry's just doing whatever he wants and no one can say no to him or feels like they can stand up to him, or it's like, you know, okay, who's really in charge of this and that, you know. It's just, yeah, it's the same thing with the Jets. It's like, who's in charge there? Woody Johnson, Joe Douglas, Aaron Rodgers,
Woody Johnson, like, I'm in the UK every day, Woody Johnson, yeah. Great.
Yeah, like who's in charge here? Who do we answer to? And then when there's a problem, they'll just blame each other. Instead of just, you know, like, or another example is like the Steelers, you know, they have a, even though they're not like super well accomplished as of late, they're still a very consistent solid franchise, and they have a very clear structure, and they, you know, everybody knows what their role is. It's not like just a big free for all. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I have Cooper Kupp news. Sean McVay at the post-game press conference said, "I'm really glad to have Cooper Kupp back with us, and I expect it to stay that way." That's an interesting thing there. We'll see how that evolves.
Yeah, good.
Good. good. All right, Shane. Uncrustables.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this just kind of came out of the blue during the game. NFL teams go through at least 80,000 Uncrustables per year. The Denver Broncos consume 700 per week. NFL teams go anywhere from 36,000 to 4,300 per week. I've had Uncrustables before, but it's been too long. What's the appeal here?
Slap, plain and simple. They slap. They're good.
Yeah, they're great. Because it's like, so okay. First of all, I crunched some of the numbers. I told you guys this. There's no way in hell that they go through that many.
Yeah, a little excessive.
But still, it's, I would imagine it is a lot. But anyways, it's, I mean, not only are they good, but it's like I always, when I played, I'd have like probably two of those every game. Once, usually, you know, maybe half hour before the game starts, and then like one at halftime, maybe after. Because here's the thing, it's like when you're playing, you're getting so much exercise, you don't want to have something huge. You know, you don't want to go into the locker room at halftime and have some teriyaki or something. But at the same time, you don't want to have nothing, because you got to replenish yourself somehow.
You just have another.
And yeah, so that's like, but that's why Uncrustables are great, because it's like, because they're not huge, but you know, inside of them, it's like you get a starch, just a little quick burst of energy there. And then you get some protein and a little sugar, just a little sugar spike, which is, those are like the three things that you need. And it's not too big, it's just right. So it's great. It's a perfect halftime snack. Plus, they're so soft and just like easy to eat. I'm just saying, when you're out there getting hit or hitting, and you know you're a little sore, you don't want to like, you don't want to have to work hard while you're eating. You want to just like, just nod, and it's like, oh yeah, that's good, you know. just nice and soft. It's yeah, I'm a big Uncrustable guy. There's that.
Did you guys growing up have like Uncrustables for like lunch at school?
No, I haven't had Uncrustables. I didn't do that.
See, I wouldn't do that, but
because we had that. That was one of the meal options for our grammar school growing up, and so like if you didn't like, they gave you certain options, like 3, 4, 5 options you could pick from every day during a week, and things they would rotate every week. So I ate a ton of Uncrustables in grammar school. So I was like, yes, peanut butter and jelly, get in my stomach. Like there's nothing there's nothing wrong with a good peanut butter and jelly. No matter if it's an Uncrustable or if it's just a regular, like just regular peanut butter and jelly, because I used to hate it as a kid. I was like, I could sing, all the peanut butter's always sticky. I was like, yeah, you know, I like it, but I was like, I hate it being sticky afterwards. As an adult, I love it even more. I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, the second I hear somebody saying, oh yeah, we're making PBJs, I'm like, yeah, give me one. I want one. Me too. Because I'm just like, damn, it's so good. Like, anything that's small like that, like, not just an Uncrustable, but like a granola bar, or like, you know, like little small things like that. I mean, it goes a long way. You don't need a lot to like to survive and a lot to, you know, eat. So like when you, yeah, especially when you're exercising, you know, that's why people will literally eat protein bars, like when they go to the gym, or that's why, you know, athletes will, you know, Uncrustables or a granola bar or whatever it is real quick, because it's like it replenishes it, but it also, it keeps you satisfied but not full, because you also don't want to, you know, work out or play on a full stomach, because obviously you'll either throw it up or you just won't feel good after, or it also slows you down. So it's, you know, when you look at a community, consider all those things together, those are your only real options, those little small Uncrustables or like some sort of granola bar. So it helps, or even a banana. A lot of players eat bananas because you don't want to cramp. And also it's small enough, it's potassium, it's got,
yeah,
what you need to keep you going. So anything like that really helps, especially if you're constantly active. Not even if you're an athlete, if you're just constantly active, it helps, because, you know, like when I go to work, I'm on my feet for 5 hours straight, but I'm, you know, but also in all sorts of elements. So I'm constantly walking around, doing this, doing that, whatever it is. So sometimes before I go to work, I'll have a peanut butter and jelly, or I'll have a banana, or I'll have a protein bar right before I go in, because I know that I'm going to eat dinner when I get out of work later on, but for those few hours, I need that to keep me going. So it does help. It really does. And, you know, it sounds funny, because it's a funny thing to think about. Like, oh, yeah, like, you know, a little kid sandwich keeps a big, big, strong professional athlete going. But it's true. It does. It's,
yeah,
it does help. And honestly, too, when I used to have those Uncrustables, because I haven't had them in a while, when I did used to eat them, oh, especially when the parts that were soggy, where like the jam was, where the jelly was, oh, you bit into that. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh.
I gotta, you guys are convincing me. I gotta go out and buy some Uncrustables, man.
Yeah, I would, that was definitely like my go-to for halftime. But I also, if it was a hot game, I would oftentimes bring like a couple oranges in like a bag, yeah, of ice.
Do so you, do you have some orange slices, Ant-Man says?
Yeah, I mean, that's a real thing. Just that, you know, you're hot, dehydrated, it's like just sweating like a, you know what, just a little bit of that cold sweet citrus gets in you, it's like, ooh, okay, here we go. And if it was a freezing cold game, I would bring cup noodles in a thermos.
Whoa.
So, you know, get that chicken warm, get the chicken broth, and then just some noodles. It's, you know, nothing heavy, but it's, you know, carbs, instant fuel. So, and warms you up a little bit.
Let's talk about another food item. Goldfish, the beloved, you know, goldfish. Pepperidge Farms. Is that, I said pep, what, how do you say that?
Pepperidge Farms.
Pepperidge. I put it in the chat because this looks like, it looks like I'm trying to have sex with a goldfish, this photo, so it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. Seriously, it looks romantic as hell. It's very weird and I don't like it. But Goldfish is changing its name to Chilean sea bass, and here's what People Food wrote about on Instagram. Goldfish is getting a grown-up name to reflect its grown-up customers. The beloved fish-shaped snack will be renamed Chilean Sea Bass for a limited time. According to the release, the short-term name is meant to remind Gen Z and millennial customers who grew up with Goldfish that the childhood staple is intended for old generations. What?
I mean, it's only a limited time, but still, it's still stupid.
like, of course Goldfish is for everybody. What are we doing?
I mean, the little catchphrase of the product is the snack that smiles back. Like, you're telling me that's for adults? No.
That's ridiculous. I mean, are we gonna rename Teddy Grahams next and just call them, hey, these are Graham crackers? Like, we know what they are, but we know the name more.
Yeah, it's like, what, bro, Look, I don't crave goldfish, but if I want goldfish, I'll go out and buy goldfish. Who cares if I'm an adult? Like, what does it matter? Seriously, and even the packaging freaks me out. Like, everything about this photo freaks me out. To the candle, to the plant. Why is forks and spoons?
Why are we having a candle-lit dinner and it's just another bag of goldfish?
That's what I'm saying. What kind of romantic dinner is this?
Oh my god, honestly though, that's a struggle meal if I've ever seen it. If I ever came home to a candlelit dinner by my wife, like, and it's
Chilean sea bass, aka goldfish.
Goldfish. You know what though? I wouldn't even be that mad. I wouldn't even be mad.
Hey, you know what? Hey, honey, I'm sorry I didn't cook, but here's Chilean sea bass. Hope you're okay. Oh, and it's not what you think it is. It's fucking goldfish.
It's not actual Chilean sea bass. No, I didn't cook it. It's goldfish. Enjoy it.
I wonder what actual goldfish tastes like. You guys ever thought about that?
What the hell?
What? I'm just saying, they're so tiny. It's like, you'd imagine that they... It's just like all bones in there, but like, I don't know. Maybe it's like a chicken wing, you know? Like, it's all bones.
Do you want to eat Nemo?
Oh my god.
Are you watching Nemo as an adult, and you're like, oh, I wonder what it would be to eat him.
Well, Nemo's a clownfish, not a goldfish, but still. I had a few pet goldfish when I was younger.
I did. I named them all Nemo. That's what I did.
Oh my god! Somebody says here, goldfish are a type of carp, and carp are generally not considered to be the best fish to eat. However, you can eat them if you want to.
Let's go to Petco this weekend. Get a couple
goldfish. Oh no!
No, I'm kidding.
Let's do a review of eating a goldfish. We bought at PetSmart or Petco on the podcast.
It says here, you can't eat your goldfish, but here's why you can eat your goldfish, but here's why you shouldn't.
Can you read more?
Send me that article.
What's the tagline? Like, I'm interested.
It just says here because actually this came out in May of this year, and there was apparently a video where someone actually was talking about it and said that the flavor of it is described as muddy. This is so weird. Muddy, fishy, and kind of gross. And then the person actually said that they had to suck on a lemon wedge just to get the goldfish taste out of his mouth.
Okay.
I get it.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Oh,
they
concluded that goldfish have too many bones, not enough meat, obviously, because they're small, and a strong, foul, fishy taste.
Okay, there you go.
What? Why did this come
out?
They did the hard work,
so we didn't have to.
Yes.
We were talking about the snack, and it came to let's eat actual goldfish. Let's go to Petco and buy one and eat it. What the hell?
Yeah.
You
can clearly tell this podcast is not been about football tonight.
No, I'm just saying though, man. Like, I went to this birthday party when I was like 9, and they gave us goldfish as party favors. And most people, you know, like most of the kids in the class, theirs died after like a month because they just, I don't know, they just forgot to feed it or whatever. But I was like, I had it was swimming around in that bowl. I was like, this is cool. This is cool shit. I was like, I'm going to take this seriously. And I bought like 4 other fish, a big aquarium. Like, I was into it. And then one of the fish got some disease.
What?
And it spread to all the others, except the one that I got as the party favorite. That fish lived 6 years.
Oh my god.
I wasn't expecting you to say that the fish got a disease. I wasn't expecting that at all.
No, it was like fish? one of the fish it was like his or hers, I don't know.
The gender of the fish.
It's It's skin? Is that what it's called? I don't even know.
It's the skin of my non-binary fish that I don't remember the gender for.
It's just
the skin of my non-binary gendered fish.
Its skin was just like falling off, and then it was just like got really gray all of a sudden, and then that happened to all the other fish, like all the other three, but the original one somehow did not get it, and it lived for 6 years.
That fish was one
tough son of a bitch.
Bro, okay. No disrespect to non-binary people, obviously, but that's the first thing that just came to my head was she doesn't know the gender.
The more we talk about this, the wilder it can be.
Listen, all I wanted to do was talk about how stupid the name was, and then it turned into, oh, my fish got a disease when I was 7.
My sister killed my fish when I was like 8.
So. Wait, how did your sister kill your fish? What the hell is happening?
I had a goldfish that I named it because obviously growing up this is why I tell you, you know, I've been waiting 15 years for a Yankees World Series. I named that fish DJ after Derek Jeter. And you know what it was? I fed that fish I abided by all the rules, all stuff like that. I come home one day. I mean, my sister was like a baby when it happened, so I mean she did it, but it was like, you know, she didn't know any better. So it was like I came home, it was in the corner of my room. I tapped the glass like to see if the goldfish was awake or whatever, maybe just sleeping. It was like crushed under one of the rock pebbles.
Wait, what did your sister do to crush it?
But like she might have just went in there like with her hand. It was like, you know, I guess playing with the rocks. It was like one gold. It was a small beta, like, you know, a little goldfish, small goldfish. And I guess she was just like playing with the rocks, whatever it was. So somehow, well, that was a healthy cough. Somehow, I got in hold of like a pen or whatever. I kept a pen next to that fish to keep track of like what I had to do each day. And I guess somehow the pen got in there. I guess she stabbed the fish,
that's so evil.
She stabbed my fish, or she killed it with the rocks. She basically stoned it to death. I don't know which one, or a combination of both, but one of those things happened. Because it wasn't me. Bro,
the amount of times my cat tried to kill my fish, she'd jump up. She'd like jump up and try and tap the tank, and like, and you know, essentially try to knock it over. I was like, you can knock the. I was like, cat, you can knock the, because the cat can understand me when I talk to it. I was like, you can knock over the tank all you want. That fish survived a fish pandemic. He's gonna survive out of the water at least 19 hours. All right,
a fish pandemic. fish COVID.
Yeah, he survived the fish plague. Like, you can knock over the tank, but that dude's gonna live like 19 hours out of the water easily.
Oh my god.
Fish black flag. What the fuck?
I my god, how far we've strayed from football.
Alright, good night, guys.
Okay, I genuinely was debating. I was at the mall the other day and I was debating. Because we're gonna take like a 3 week break after the Super Bowl show, just because we're gonna be tired and exhausted. I want to do a best of or funniest moments for the year. This is going at the top of the list.
Yes.
Oh, we got it. We actually have to like go through the recordings and see like which moments. Like,
we should, you know, low key at the end of the season when we have that 3 week break, we should just like for President's Day weekend, just like go to Florida and chill.
Yeah, just chill out. No, but okay, yeah. It's not okay for us to laugh at animals' death, but like, bro, that was funny. That, like, my fish had pandemic.
We're not laughing at animals' death. We're laughing at our animals because it was like, because we were kids when it happened, and it's like, it's a goldfish. It's not like it's a dog or a cat, God forbid. It's a goldfish. Like,
yeah, because your sister John Wicked your fish.
John Wicked your fish.
That's gonna be a quote. That's gonna be a quote in the Discord.
we have a quotes tab on the Discord.
I'm just saying.
We have a quotes tab on our show Discord that we record this on for funny moments. Yeah, and that's going on.
The quote's gonna be Brandon's sister. John Wicked his fish.
What the hell? No, I remember when I was our elementary school had this like patio area, Shane, or something like that. I don't remember what it was called. And there was like this area with plants and stuff. All seven of my fish that I had for a science project, they were all named Canuck after the Vancouver Canucks. They all died in the matter of like 3 days. And they're all just buried. Just like my actual hockey team a few years later, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's hilarious.
Jesus, this is... Oh god. The good thing is, that's how you know we were all born to talk about sports or be in sports, whatever the case may be, because we named our fish after sports athletes. I don't get that. Like,
bro, no. Why we're good at doing this is we do like 40 minutes on why the Vikings and Rams could lose a game, and then we talk about how our fish died for the next 30 minutes.
The thing is, there is no linear path to how we get from that to where we are now. Like, there's like, I don't understand. Like, this has gone off the rails. I'm trying to find a football topic to bring it back or to reel it back in. Ah, there you go. Like a fish.
Damn it!
I can't think of one. Is there any sport? Is there any football news? Is there anything?
You know, to be honest, No, go ahead, Shane.
I was just going to say, it's funny because you say the thing about baseball or sports names for the fish. My fish were named after prevalent baseball players at the time.
Yeah, I wasn't the only one.
Wait, what was the one that survived the fishdemic named?
That was Josh, after Josh Hamilton.
Damn! Oh my god! Josh Hamilton, no way. Dude, and you know what though? That explained why he survived, because Josh Hamilton was roided up during his era.
Yeah. We have
a new lore on this show, the fishdemic.
then there was Prince for Prince Fielder.
I want to know the name of the first one that got fishdemicked.
The first one that got fishdemicked was that was Miguel from Miguel Cabrera.
Oh no,
Miguel Cabrera.
Miguel was first, and then Prince was second, and then the third was the fish named after Griffey, which I named Ken.
Ken the fish.
I didn't name it Griffey like any normal human would. No, I my little goldfish. Hello, Ken.
Ken.
Yeah, but imagine some, like, imagine if you were to do that in 2024, and it's like you have a girlfriend. It's like, oh yeah, here's all my fish, and it's like, oh. Did you name him Ken because of Barbie and Ken? No, Ken Griffey, the baseball player. Ken Griffey Jr.
Get it right.
Get it right. Yeah.
Or Prince the singer? No, Fielder.
No, yeah. Or Josh from Drake and Josh? No, Josh Hamilton. You wouldn't get it. Oh, my God. or Miguel, like, oh, Miguel the singer? No, Miguel Cabrera, the former Marlin and Detroit Tiger legend.
Tiger, yeah.
Okay, I have a new goal. Whenever we get a studio, we're gonna buy a fish tank, and we need to see how long we can keep the fish from surviving.
And we'll name them after baseball players.
Yes.
Actually, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to name it after baseball players. Look, mine died. Derek Jeter. Your all yours died. Josh Hamilton, Prince Fielder. Yeah, you know, et cetera. Not a good thing.
No, dude, we just have to. Okay, but the one that survived, Josh Hamilton, Roids, we got to name the fish after Roids baseball players.
Steroids. So we have Mark from
Roids. So Barry, Sammy.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, like, did Pete Roid? No.
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 Alex Rodriguez did.
Yeah.
Alex, yeah.
We also have Jason for Jason Giambi.
Uh-huh, yeah.
God. David, because David Ortiz was on the 2003 report. David Ortiz did
David. One point. Robinson, Cano.
Manny for Manny Ramirez.
You know, I have a question for all you doctors out there. Is there any way we can just actually roid up our fish? Like, is that possible? are there fish roids? Are there fish roids? Like, is that a thing?
I mean, you can. I mean, not for nothing. When I was
you
born,
should ask Josh. He was obviously on something.
He's dead.
Like, I mean, yeah. But listen, what a hell of a run he had. But, like, I mean, not for nothing. I mean, you can. This is gonna sound bad when I say this, but I have lived through this. You can. I can't. I'm trying to figure out how to say this without sounding so bad. But you can give roids to technically anything.
Yeah, it's true.
But here's even including Jameson Williams. But
damn.
I had to get that one.
Oh my god.
Like when I was born, you had to, like, because I was born like really, really premature. Like, back then, babies like my size didn't survive. They had to give, in order to help babies like us grow and like not die, you had to give them, in most cases, you had to give them some sort of like steroid, like healthy, not healthy, but like a steroid to help them.
Yeah, to help grow. Them actually grow. Yeah, you know what? So, You know what this whole thing sounds like. This sounds like that episode of Family Guy when Stewie's on roids and Peter's like, "Hey, try this." He's like, "Here we go." It's like, "Oh my god."
Well, if there's anybody I trust, it's a stranger at the gym with a needle.
Dude,
it's like normally, you know, when a fish dies, like, either just flush it down the toilet or like just toss it in the trash, but like with Josh, like, that felt like such a disservice to him. I was like, man, this guy deserves, like, a proper burial. I mean, shit.
He deserves a fish burial ground.
He deserves a 21-gun salute for his service.
He survived a plague of his own species and a monster cat trying to kill him 24/7. I mean...
I was just trying to talk about the product Goldfish. That's all I was trying to fucking do.
And then this happened. And then we had a 40-minute conversation about
how much
roided goldfish.
How much of this do we have to cut out?
I'm not cutting any of it out. I'm not cutting any of it out.
God. Because it's like, you know, we're not trying, you know, let's be very clear with people here. We're not trying to make fun of bad things, but it's like,
no.
But at the same time, it's like these things do happen, and we're just you know, putting a light spin on it.
Bro, I just can't get over that Shane doesn't know the species or the gender of his fish. And the first thing that came out of my mind is that's a non-binary fish. I don't know why that came out.
Well, how do you tell? It's not like they got parts down there that you can just look at.
I couldn't tell either about my fish.
And again, I respect non-binary people. I just think it's very bizarre that you didn't know the species of your fish.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, God.
How was I supposed to know?
All mine were male.
How do you know?
I don't know. I just knew.
Yeah, no, you didn't know.
Yeah. Did someone just tell you, or
Wait, Brandon.
Dude,
Brandon.
You can't tell if a fish has an innie or an outie. I mean, what?
Okay, like... wait. Brandon, I need you to do another goldfish search, really quick. I need you to search how you can tell the gender of a goldfish.
I'm gonna type it around. How can I tell the gender of my goldfish? Okay, there's a few ways actually. Color. Male goldfish develop color at a younger age than females. Body shape. Male goldfish have slender bodies while females have bigger. Tail size. Male goldfish have bigger tails. Anal fin, that's a word apparently.
Yeah, that's a word.
Female goldfish have a triangular shaped anal fin. I can't pronounce this. Male goldfish have a pointy fin called the gonopodium.
Gonorrhea? What's going on?
I don't know. Female goldfish have a faint midline ridge.
Jesus is complex.
And it says they're chasing behavior during breeding season. So obviously, if you have one, this doesn't apply. But if you have like two or three, whatever it is. During breeding season, male goldfish will chase, stay close to, and nudge female goldfish to spawn.
Okay, there we go. All right.
So they develop basically pretty much, you know. So a lot of your regular goldfish pretty much, I guess, are female. Because, I mean, with the ones we see triangular-shaped tails, those are females.
Oh, okay.
So that's... that's pretty interesting.
How do I even end this podcast with any proper semblance of normalcy after what we just did?
I mean, that's why I'm trying to find a football topic, but I'm running out of news. I literally
was gonna do some NBA stuff. I wanted to do some World Series stuff. We'll save that for Monday.
Oh, well, this is interesting. It says here, Jameson Williams has like officially accepted. He was going to appeal, but he finally accepted his PED ban.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know much more information other than that, and that the Lions are just trusting in him. So I don't know if that means it was actually something in his food or something he drank, which sometimes that can be the case. That does happen. But I don't know much more than that. I assume we'll find out more as the weeks go on. I'm waiting to find out a lot more information with JMO. I don't have any other reaction than that.
Like, a lot of times poppy seed muffins show up as a substance, which I've is weird.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So I'll just say this before we have like a whole discussion about it. I want to hear more things. Because I want to see if we'll hear more things before.
I know what we didn't get to.
Maybe he ate Josh with all his roids.
Oh God, I know what we didn't get to. If we can do it like super fast, we didn't get to our games of the week and things like that.
Oh my Lord! Yes, we should get to it. Speaking of that, let me quickly look up.
Maybe not the spread, maybe not the lines, but at least games of the week.
We don't have to do spreads. I'll only give like a couple of them. I do want to see what are the announcing schedules, because I also didn't check that. So while you guys look at the schedule, I'll check what the announcing schedule is for the week.
Seattle at Buffalo is the number one Fox game because Tom Brady tweeted, "I'm coming to Seattle." And I was like, "Oh, great."
Wait, are you serious? That is the number one Fox game?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, Brady's coming here, so.
How much you want to bet he's going to remind you about, oh, Seahawks could have ran it with Marshawn Lynch, but we got the better of them that day.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Yep, that is in fact the number one Fox game. That's a little weird.
But at the end of the day, the one silver lining here is that the Seahawks are the one team that Brady does not have a winning record against. So I'm just saying,
Do you guys want to guess?
I think he was 3-3 against them in his career.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Do you want to guess what the number one CBS game is?
I
don't know.
What, Chiefs, Raiders?
Nope.
Oh my God, Ravens, Browns?
Nope.
What? Those are good games.
Look through it a little bit more.
Well, there's only two more I can think of. And this seems like it'd be a Fox game, not a CBS game. So I'll go with the other one.
Colts, Panthers, Texans?
No Colts, Texans. What did you say, Brandon?
Panthers, Broncos?
No, it's Bears, Commanders.
Bears, Commanders is usually a Fox game.
Yeah, why is that CBS? They're both NFC.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so you can't pick those two. You can't pick Giants Steelers, not that you would. You can't pick Cowboys Niners, not that you would. Game of the week, guys.
Oh Lord. Watch, I only see one.
I see a few that kind of interest me. Kind of.
I'm trying to look through this. I got mine. Can I do mine first?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
It's Eagles Bengals.
God damn you.
Yeah, no. No, it's Eagles Bengals, and it's because of the stop start from the Bengals. It's because of what Brandon has said about the Eagles offense. That's definitely, I think, number one for me.
If you would have told me that, especially in 2022, this is a comment that someone else brought up, but I thought about it too. If you would have told me in 2022 that Eagles Bengals, which was supposed to be a 4:30 game, got flexed out. So Jalen Hurts against Joe Burrow in 2022 gets flexed out for Bears Commanders.
Yeah, it actually did. Yeah. I forgot about that. It actually did, yeah.
I would have told you are out of your mind. But that's where we are in 2024. I hope that game lives up to the hype. I hope it's a shootout. Not for my health, but I know I'll be dead. But I hope it's a shootout in terms of it's everything I wanted from Jalen Hurts against Joe Burrow.
Do you want some positive news about that game though?
Yeah.
Ian Eagle and Charles Davis are doing it along with Evan Washburn at CBS.
I love it.
All right. You guys go ahead.
Well, you took mine. damn it.
There's a couple good choices here.
Is there really?
I'll go Houston, Indy. No. Atlanta, Tampa.
Yeah, go for Atlanta, Tampa. Go.
Because that was a great game last time, and they've both, you know, they have kind of, you know, they both struggled a bit last week. So, you know, that's, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back in round two.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun one. Brandon, what do you got?
Oh, damn. Good question. Because you took Eagles, Bengals is mine. I should have let you go first. Damn it. I was thinking Texans, Colts, but I don't like Anthony Richardson starting. If that was Joe Flacco, I would have said game of the week, which is crazy. but that's where we are. See, Falcons, Bucks, it would have been nice had Godwin and Evans been healthy. But
I forgot about that.
That's also why I took the Falcons in this matchup. I'm like, I gotta take the Falcons.
Yeah, yeah. I picked the Falcons too. I didn't pick the Lions game like an idiot, but if I would have, I still would have lost. I would have picked the Vikings. So chalk it up as an L for me.
I also took the Vikings, so you're fine.
Yeah. So we just gotta add an L to my stat sheet end of the season. If I'm looking at these games, I'm going to pick a division matchup because they're always close, and I know how bad the one team is, and I know how great the one team is, but I'm going Ravens-Browns.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's fun. It's physical. It's fun. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, because Deshaun Watson is not starting anymore, so that offense cannot possibly be worse than what they are. And I hope it's Jameis Winston starting.
It is. That's so, official. It good. Is JMO. Or it is Jameis.
And it should have been all along. But you know, the Browns can't admit their own failure. We talked about that last time. Jameis Winston is not a pushover. He can command an offense no matter who it is. You're not throwing a backup in there like a Cooper Rush and saying, hey, you know, go try to win some games. No, Jameis Winston's, you know, done this before. I mean, they don't have Amari Cooper anymore, but that offense should still look better with Jameson Williams. With Jameis Winston.
Dog, there's too many Williamses in my head from the NFL, the NBA, all sports. There's too many.
Yeah, there's Jason Williams, a former basketball player. There's Jay Williams. There's now Jameson, you know, Williams. Then there's Jameis Winston. Like, there's too many JWs and Jameson and Jameis and Jameis.
Hey, let's eat a W, Jameis Winston. Let's eat one.
But then here's the thing too. The Browns, despite how bad their offense is, their defense has been carrying them. That is still a top, you know, like 10 defense in the NFL. I mean, borderline, because it wasn't by the time when they faced the Eagles, it was 9. Actually, was ranked 9th. So this is still a top 10 defense. So if they get any kind of offensive play, they can make this game tough for the Ravens, who have been on fire. So it should be interesting because you're not going to run all over that defense, I don't think. I mean, Derrick Henry is a different beast, but Saquon Barkley didn't really run over them like that. He did okay, but he didn't do a whole lot. Division games, just like we were talking about with the Chiefs and Raiders, you know, I was texting you guys about that, like, that seems like a Chiefs blowout, but those two teams, no matter how good and bad they are, they play each other tight. So I think this should be no different. AFC North, you know, this should be no different. You know, Ravens Brown, that is a real trap game. It could be a trap game for the Ravens. So that's why it's my game of the week.
Yeah. Well, Tua's debut is also interesting. I want to save that for Sunday because let's watch him on Sunday and then we can have a deeper discussion on that.
I was thinking about that, but I didn't want to touch it because I was like, we'll save that. We'll see how he does.
Yeah, I rather save that. There's actually, this is probably the best week for spread, so let's do it. Bills Seahawks, guess the spread. Or guess the line, I guess, would be the term.
I think I saw these spreads yesterday. Well, I always see them the night before because...
Yeah, they probably have changed because I think from what I've seen from yesterday to today, a lot has actually kind of changed. From what I can recollect.
It wasn't Bills -3.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think that's what the spread was, or it was -2.5. So I'll say -2.5 because I know that, but I think it was -3. It's not a big spread.
It is -3. Ding, 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 ding. Yep. Shane. Packers Jaguars gets the spread.
It was disrespectful towards the Packers. I remember that. It should have been bigger than what it was.
Packers -5.
I will say Packers -4.
Ding 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 ding. Packers -4. Titans Lions gets the line.
It's gotta be higher, because I mean that's
Lions -10.
I will say I don't think there was any like there. I think this one was a bigger spread, but it wasn't. It's not like something crazy. I'm trying to remember. Lions -7.
This is the biggest line of the season, Brandon. I might contact you to put a bet on this. This is Detroit -12.
Oh my God!
According to ESPN Bet. -12.
Oh my god. Oh my freaking god.
Yeah.
I just realized we didn't even do pot cookies.
We are going to. I just need to get through these spreads because these are crazy. Panthers Broncos guess the spread.
Oh jeez. Broncos minus. Oh, they don't blow anybody out. So Broncos minus 3.5.
I'll say Broncos minus 6.
Another one that we might want to bet, Brandon, Broncos minus 10.
Wow. Okay.
That is a lot of faith in the Broncos that I'm not comfortable with.
ESPN bet is off their rocker this week. Chiefs Raiders guess the line. That'll be our last one.
Oh, that's got to be
nice. Chiefs minus 10, probably. It should be. I mean,
yeah, screw it. Balls to the wall. I'll say like Chiefs minus 9.
Chiefs minus 9.5. Okay, screw it. I have one more. Bears Commanders guess the line.
Oh. I saw
Bears
that
minus
one.
2.
You say Bears gonna... minus 2? Okay.
I think it was the Bears because Jane Daniels is not playing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That doesn't change my pick. I'm gonna be honest, it doesn't change what I'm doing. I'm sticking with the Commanders. I think if I picked them, I believe I did. That doesn't actually change my pick at all.
Yeah, just the Bears defense has been good. So I will say, I'll flip it, and I'll say Commanders minus 2.
Bears minus 3.
I remember it was in the Bears' favor because Jane Daniels is not playing, that's why.
Bro, the Lions being minus 12
yeah,
and Denver being minus 10 is absurd. Let's do pot cookies. Brandon, go ahead.
I mean, I think this week is pretty damn easy. it's Jets Patriots. That game sucks. That game sucks in every way, shape, and form. Jets actually look worse with Aaron Rodgers than they ever did with Zach Wilson. If you can believe that. That's a statement that we're saying in 2024. So that's a fun one. And then the Patriots, I like Drake May, but my God, he might die behind that offensive line. And it's a division game. Both defenses are, I mean, the Jets defense hasn't been great this year, but that's still a proven defense with proven players. I can't, like, if that game feels like we're heading for another 10-9, you know, Jets Broncos game, like,
yeah,
nobody's going to score. So that game, you know, that seems like a 17-14 kind of game. So that game is just not going to be fun to watch for anybody, for fans of either team. I mean, not that fans of either team are watching that game anyway, because both those teams are finished for the year.
For us on Red Zone, when that comes on, that is going to be rough. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun at all.
Shane, you got one?
No, it's Patriots Jets.
I actually don't think it is. I have two that I think are worse.
Really?
Yeah. I think Saints Chargers is going to be really bad, but it's not my pick. I think Saints Chargers is going to be. I think Giants Steelers.
I mean, yeah, that's bad too.
I think Giants Steelers is going to be abysmal on Monday night. I think it's going to be so. Here's the thing: the Steelers frustrate me on offense, even if it was better last week. And it's the damn Giants. Please, I know we're doing a podcast, so I know we have to watch the game. But please, for the love of God, multi-screen the World Series on Monday. Please, for the love of God, please. If you're please watch the World Series. Like, come on. World Series is Monday, right? It is. Yeah. Please do that. Please, okay. For the love of God, watch both games. But please multi-screen the World Series on Monday. Please. Just please do yourself a favor and do that.
You know what, though? You know why I was hesitating? Because I was like, I was going to pick it, but then I was thinking in my head, I'm like, well, the Steelers are better combined than the Jets and Patriots. So I'm like, that's why I was like, I could see it because the Giants are so bad. But I was like, Jets and Patriots are two trash teams. At least the Steelers, they don't play good football, but they're winning. Like, it's... Like, but the Jets and Patriots aren't winning anything, and they look awful every week. At least you can see something in the Steelers to be like, hey, great defense. Offense isn't great, but they found a way to score points. Like, the Jets and Patriots, they don't score points even in their sleep. Like, oh, are they can't score, they can't score points against like a college level defense right now. So, you know,
speaking of the World Series, Brandon, I found something interesting. I'll go through every, I'm just going to say the days of the World Series, not the dates, just the days. So game one is Friday. Game two is Saturday. Game three is Monday. Game four is a Tuesday. Game five is a Wednesday. Game six is a Friday. And game seven is a Saturday. The only day of NFL split action is Monday. I 100% think that's intentional. Oh, I 100% think that's intentional. Because Monday, there's only one game, so you can split screen both of them, and they didn't want to compete with Sunday Night Football again. It's 100% intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody kept saying, like, wow, why does the World Series feel so late this year? Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
So, it's like, yeah, because I don't remember the, because if we do get to a Game 6 and a Game 7, the World Series isn't ending until the first weekend in November. That's rare.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. No. Yeah. And I assume it will. I'm pretty confident this goes 6 or 7 without any doubt.
Yeah, so am I. So am I.
Yeah. We'll get to that more next week. I assume, actually, that would be perfect for Monday, because Monday we'll do Steelers and we can do Yankees Dodgers. We can do Steelers Giants and Yankees Dodgers, so that's perfect. So we'll get back to that on Monday. Well, 2 hours of goldfish talk and football. I don't know if there's anything. I don't know if there's anything more you can ask of a podcast on a random Thursday night, on the night that Call of Duty also launches as well.
Dude, we gotta pin this show. Like, just the range of emotions we went to, like talking about serious locker room stuff, to then talking about, you know, the ways in which our goldfish survived murder attempts and plagues and whatever else, and
like it would be the
roller coaster. And then just back to having a normal football conversation.
The roller coaster that we went on for 2 hours. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's
You know what? I'll describe it perfectly. The roller coaster of emotions that I'm gonna have watching a terrible movie tomorrow, which is Venom: The Last Dance. It's gonna be amazing and incredibly fun, but as the reactions have said, it's pretty terrible. Which you figure, because it's Venom, and I'm still excited. I'm serious. I've never been more excited about a movie that unanimously everyone says is terrible. Never in my life have I been like, yes, it's exactly what I want.
Jesus, this is gonna be scary. Like, this is gonna be like, this series is going on in a blaze of glory. This movie, this franchise.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's going to be great. Sunday, we're doing It 2017. We'll also be live on Halloween, because Thursday Night Football, Texans and the aforementioned Jets are in, well, I should say 15 minutes from Brandon's place of residence for that one. So we'll be live on Halloween as well next week. Wear something Halloween-y. Wear a costume during the pod. do something, please. Cool.
Wear something Halloween-y, or you will be called a Halloween-y.
Yeah, just wear something. Like, I have masks. I'll probably wear like a skeleton thing. I'll wear something. Even though you don't see us, we'll tell you what we got going on. So, we'll figure something out. But yeah, your one requirement for next Thursday is wear something.
Well, we can keep our cameras on for each other on Discord. So that actually makes sense.
Yeah, we could probably like screenshot it, put it on Twitter or something. As a fun little gag. But yeah, that is a requirement for next Thursday.
I do have a costume ready to go for Halloween.
Yes. I can't wait to see it. But we will see you guys on Sunday for another crazy show, I assume. Talking all things football, talking It 2017. I can't imagine how many screams I'm gonna have in my house by myself to that film. I'm very, very excited. So yeah, we will see you all on Sunday. Thank you guys for a great show, and thank you as always for listening to our shenanigans. Always fun, guys. Always fun.
Hell yeah. So, thanks for listening.
That's all you gotta say, Shane. All right, that's cool. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
See you all.